Well, now that you've all sat back down, I think we should have the mothers stand, and we're going to give them a hand. All moms, stand up. I know you're humble and you don't want to. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I may have to sit down today. My legs are feeling a little weak, so hope that's okay if I join you sitting down. Want to welcome you if you're new here. Thank you for joining us. It's a great day, isn't it? My mom was a special lady, and she loved the Lord, and she was a member of the Episcopal Church, and she took her three boys. I'm the middle of three boys. I guess you could still call us boys. And she took us to the Episcopal Church, and she loved the high worship. With the organ. It's beautiful. It's very solemn. And but she loved that, and she did her best to raise us in the Lord. And my big brother and I are believers, and my little brother is not a believer, so I'd appreciate your prayers for my little brother. But I really was lucky to have such a mom. I hope you appreciate your mother. By the way, God is the one who chose your mom, right? You didn't choose who was going to be your mom. God, that's God's choice, so you appreciate your mom because God is the one who gave that mom to you and gave you to your mom. Amen? Yes, that's right. So happy Mother's Day, every mom. And I like to say, I say to guys, happy Mother's Day, and they laugh. And I say, well, if it wasn't for you, your mom wouldn't be a mother, right? You got to think about that one for me. So we've been studying the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus as told in the book of Mark. It's called the Gospel according to Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the second book in the New Testament. And the gospel means good news. It's good news about Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ good news? Yes, he is. We're going to see today just how special he is. We're going to glorify Christ today. Mark wrote his gospel about 60 A.D. And by the way, in our home Bible study, we were studying and we talked about B.C. and A.D. And everybody said, what do those stand for? Well, B.C. stands for before Christ, right? What does A.D. stand for? Most people say after death. It's a Latin term, anno domini, and it means the year of the Lord. So all of our calendar, the whole world bases its calendar on Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? They may not acknowledge him. They may not love him. They may even hate him. Every time they sign a check, 2024, that's the year of our Lord, 2024. Amen? So, that's an aside. Now you know what AD stands for. Latin, anno domini, is that right, Stephen? He's my Latin expert. So Mark wrote his gospel only about 20 or 30 years after Christ ascended into heaven. The early church leaders all agreed that Mark got his information about Jesus from the apostle Peter. And some even believe that Peter dictated the story to Mark and Mark recorded it. We don't have any proof of that. But everybody agrees that Mark got most of his information from Peter. And so the book of Mark is largely Peter's perspective on the life of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see why that is important in a little bit in our sermon. Mark wrote his gospel primarily to Gentile Christians, Roman believers, and he portrayed Jesus as the servant, right? The ultimate servant. And what is our memory verse? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Let's say it together. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ, the servant, and he served all the way to the cross. His ultimate service was paying for our ransom, paying for our sins on the cross. Amen? Okay. Last week, we saw Jesus serving people in an amazing fashion. He served supper to a multitude of people. He took 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fish and miraculously fed 5,000 people. Was it 5,000? It was 5,000 men. Back then, they usually assembled the men in one place and the women and children in another place. So all they counted was the men. Not that the women and children didn't count. It was just their way of counting. So there was probably more like 15,000 to 20,000 people there, men, women, and children. And they were all fed by miraculously on 5 loaves of bread. Isn't that something? There's only one thing I can say about that. Wow. Wow. How in the world did Jesus do that? Well, he's the Lord. He's God. He's the creator. He took a little bit and he did a magnificent multiplication. And as he broke the bread and the fish, somehow it miraculously, wow, fed all those people. Is that worthy of a wow? Can you say wow today? Wow. You know, if you say wow to God, you are worshiping. Because worship is having your mind blown by the greatness of God. Wow! God is so awesome. Wow! And the first 2 letters in wow are the same first 2 letters in worship, right? So, wow. And if you say wow to the Lord Jesus today, it will help you remember today's message. Because today, wow stands for walks on water. Yeah, wow. Thank you for giving me that perfunctory laugh. Walks on water. So let's pray, and we're going to open our passage, and we're going to see this amazing, amazing thing that Jesus did. Lord, we are in awe of you. Forgive us for being so shallow in our worship, for taking you for granted, for reading about the feeding of thousands of people and just taking it for granted. Oh Lord, you are worthy of our worship. You are great. You are mighty. We can't express with words how wonderful you are, how great is your love, how great is your mercy, how great is your constant service to us even today, for you give us life and breath, and you give us salvation through the sacrifice of Christ. Oh Lord, you are awesome, and we bow before you. We say, wow, Lord, you are wonderful. Guide us now as we join you in this wonderful, wonderful episode in your life where you walked on water. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're in Mark 6. Remember that Jesus, again, has just fed the 5,000, the 20,000. And the book of John tells us that the people who got fed wanted to make Jesus king. They wanted to, they figured, hey, he's, look at what he can do. He can feed us. He can take care of us. He's got all power, and he surely can overthrow the Romans. So we're gonna make him king. They were going to try to kind of force him into kingship. And of course, that wasn't Jesus' plan. So we're going to join Christ and his disciples right after the feeding of the 5,000. We'll read just the first two verses in Mark 6, 45 and 46. Immediately, that's after everybody was fed and the crumbs and stuff were gathered. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. So Jesus sends his disciples across the Sea of Galilee. By the way, I'm sure most of you are aware of this. The Sea of Galilee has several names. It's not a saltwater sea. It's really a lake. And it's called the Sea of Galilee. It's called the Lake Gennesaret. And it's called the Sea of Tiberias. Different names because of different... Well, Tiberias was a Roman Caesar. So they named it after him. So if you see Sea of Tiberias, Lake Gennesaret, or Sea of Galilee, it's talking about the same body of water, okay? All right. So he sends them across the Sea of Galilee, and he quiets the crowd and ultimately sends them away. Then he climbs to the high hills that surround the sea. They're called mountains. They're really high hills, mini mountains. And he went there to pray, to spend time with his Father. Now, let me just take a little side trail to say that this is a beautiful picture of Christ's present intercession for us in heaven. You know, Jesus, after he ascended, he went to the right hand of the Father, and there he intercedes for us. He prays for us. So just as Christ, in this story, sent his disciples off and ascended to a mountaintop to pray, so Jesus sent his followers out into the world. Then he ascended into heaven to pray for them at the right hand of the Father. Isn't that cool? And so also, just as Jesus could look down from the mountain and see the men in the boat struggling with the oars, so Jesus looks down from heaven and knows whatever struggles we are going through, and he intercedes for us. Isn't that a great picture? Jesus on the mountain interceding for his disciples in the boat, and Jesus in Mount Zion in heaven interceding for us. Aren't you glad he's interceding for you? But the wonderful thing about our Savior is he doesn't just look down from heaven and see us from afar. No, he, so to speak, walks on water and comes to our rescue when we struggle. So let's look at that. Verse 48 through 50. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, that's about 3 a.m, by the way. About the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he would have passed by. He would have passed by them, And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. This is another wow moment. Walking on water. By the way, the lake wasn't frozen. He walked the way he, I don't know how that looked, if he was kind of like surfing along on top, but he walked on the water. That's mind-blowing. Jesus, the intercessor, became Jesus, the rescuer, right? He saw their plight and he came down from the mountain and he actually walked out on the sea. He took an early morning stroll across the angry waves. This was incomprehensible for the disciples because in all the miracles of the Old Testament, there had never been one like this one. This was unique to Jesus. He actually walked on water. You can say that so easily, but let's be wowed by it. Amen? No wonder they thought it was a ghost. They'd never seen anybody or heard of anybody walking on water. And by the way, it said in verse 48 that he was going to pass by them. And there's been a lot of theories about why it says he was going to pass by him. I think he was just showing them that the wind and the waves were no problem to him. He could just walk right on by and stroll across the lake without a bit of problem. He could get across the lake with or without a boat because he's the master of the sea. Amen? Remember earlier in the book of Mark, they were in the boat and there was a terrible storm and the water was coming into the boat and the disciples were freaking out. These expert fishermen and boatmen thought they were going to die. And Jesus was asleep. Remember that? He was asleep. I don't know what they thought the rabbi could do. They were the expert boatmen. But, you know, Jesus, wake up. Don't you care that we're dying? And Jesus stood up and said, peace, be still. And the ocean went flat as a pancake. And the wind went away. And he calmed the storm. He proved that he's the master of the sea, right? By the way, when it says, peace be still, peace means be quiet. Still means be muzzled. So it's like this angry dog was barking and making waves. And Jesus said, puppy, be quiet and be muzzled. There, that's better. Good dog. Lie down. So Jesus was the master of the sea. He could calm the storm. He could walk on the water. He's amazing, isn't he? Hallelujah. Now, I want to take a moment to refer to Matthew's account of this event because Matthew includes something very important. And in Matthew 14, that's not going to come up on the screen. Matthew 14, verses 25. Where are we? There we go. Verses 25 through 32. Now in the fourth watch of the night, this is Matthew's account of the same event, Jesus walking on water. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Whoa, what a bold request. So Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wow. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Isn't that amazing? So I bring that up because many people ask such a monumental thing. Why did not Mark include Peter walking on water? Why didn't he include that in his gospel? Well, most think, again, that Mark was Peter's story, and he was so humble, he didn't want to include that story because he wanted all the glory to go to Jesus, not to him. That's a good explanation, don't you think? Peter, humble Peter, didn't want to be glorified. He wanted only Jesus to be glorified. But there's a good lesson for us, isn't there? The lesson is, when you're in the midst of the storm, don't look at the storm, look at Jesus, right? Peter did fine. He walked on water as long as his eyes were on Christ. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And Jesus called him little faith. Boy, it took a little bit of faith for him to walk on water. But little faith puts its eyes on the storm. Big faith puts its eyes on Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right, so back to the book of Mark. Let's finish this account from the book of Mark. Verses 49 through 52. So when they said, let's see, did I already read this? Well, let's read it again. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Don't you love it when Jesus says to you, "Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Be of good cheer." We should always be of good cheer because Christ is not only our intercessor, he's our rescuer. Amen? So in the book of John, it tells us that not only did the wind cease, but instantly they were at their destination. When Jesus got in the boat, all of a sudden they were across the lake, the wind ceased, and they were there. That's amazing. Huh. All right. Let's read verse 52 because, let's see, verse 51 says, "Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they marveled." Now verse 52. "For they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened." This is interesting. Mark seems to be saying that they really should not have been amazed at Jesus walking on water after what they'd just seen in the feeding of the 5,000. Mark is saying, he's already proven his deity by multiplying the loaves. Why are you amazed when he walks on water? So that's kind of an interesting take. They'd just seen the mighty power of Jesus in feeding the 5,000. But Mark says their hearts were hardened. But back in Matthew, I'm sorry to bounce back and forth. Back in Matthew, at the end of Matthew's account, we read, then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So putting these two accounts together, it seems that the disciples went through a kind of growth of faith, something like this. They saw the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, and while they were amazed at what Jesus had done, because of their hard hearts, they didn't call him the Son of God. They didn't recognize his deity. Then they witnessed Jesus walking on water, and they marveled even more. They were amazed. Finally, with the calming of the sea and the instantaneous safe arrival of the boat, their wonder and amazement blossomed into faith, and they worshiped Jesus as the Almighty Son of God. And they said, they worshiped him and said, you are the Son of God. It's a great miracle when amazement turns into worship. Amen. Now we're going to close out chapter 6 in the book of Mark with another example of Christ's almighty power. Verse 53 through 56. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through the whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. Wow. Another wow moment. Once again, the people recognize Jesus and they seek to be healed of their diseases and their infirmities. Perhaps they'd heard about the woman in Capernaum who touched Jesus' robe, remember, and was healed. Maybe they heard that and they said, well, he's got great power. They had faith in his power, in his ability to heal. And so when Jesus walked by, all they did was touch the hem of his garment, and they were healed. Wow! The people had such faith in Christ's power over disease that all they had to do was touch the hem of his garment, and he made them well. Amen? So in our scripture today, we see a lot of reasons to say, wow, to the Lord, to worship him. Amen? He reveals himself as the Lord over creation, which is to say, he is God. He is the Lord over creation. Jesus is the Son of God and God the Son. When he walked on water, when he walked on the sea, he revealed himself as the master of the sea. The unruly waves were, so to speak, under his feet. The sea rose up as an enemy to the disciples, but Jesus conquered that enemy and trampled it underfoot. He trampled the waves underfoot, which is a biblical picture of a victorious general trampling his enemies underfoot. Jesus trampled the enemy of the storm and brought it to submission. He is the Lord of the sea. Amen? By the way, he's the Lord over the storms in your life too. No storm enters your life but that hasn't first been approved by Jesus. Jesus allows storms in your life so that you can cry out to him and depend on him for deliverance. Amen? He's the Lord of the sea. Then he revealed himself, I love this, as the master of time and space when he miraculously took the disciples and the boat in a split second from the middle of the sea to their destination. Time, split second, space, they were there. That's amazing. That's another wow that we just kind of gloss over. He is the Lord of time and space. Finally, he demonstrated his power over sickness and infirmity by healing multitudes who merely touched his clothes. Wow. He's the Lord over sickness and health. Amen. Jesus is truly the Lord and Master of creation. But you know, there are multitudes of people who may be amazed, who marvel at Christ's power, but their hearts are hard, so they refuse to bow to him as Lord and God. It's a great miracle when a person allows their amazement to turn into faith and worship. Lots of people can talk about the miracles of Jesus, but how many people have bowed down before him and said, "You are the Almighty Son of God. You are the one who's forgiven my sins. You are the one who gives everlasting life." So how about you? There is salvation in no other name than the name Jesus Christ. And that means that Jesus Christ is the Lord, because salvation is of the Lord, the scripture said. Jesus is Lord. Amen?
Amen?
And he is the only one who can save you from your sin. He is the one who can come walking on the water to rescue you. He is the one who loves you and laid down his life on the cross for you. So maybe you are going through a storm in your life right now. Again, Jesus is allowing that storm so that you will call out to him and call out for his touch of rescue, for his either calming the storm or calming your heart. He's the one who's allowed the storm, and he wants you to not look at the storm, but look at him. Amen? Because he loves you, and he died for you, and he wants you to cry out to him in faith. So let's do that just now. Let's cry out to the Lord in faith. Lord, we thank you that when we look at you, we can say, wow. You are the one who walks on water. Wow. You are the one who can calm the storm. Wow. You are the one who rescues us when we need you. You are the one who intercedes for us. So we worship you. Today, we worship you as the King of Kings, and we invite you to be our rescuer even now. I pray for someone today, Lord, who has known about you, who's known about your mighty power, but who has not bowed before you and called you Lord and God. I pray for that person this morning that you, Lord, would meet them right where they are and you would grant them salvation and eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here with us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.